You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre, and with Will Bonoff, I am honored to be back for a second straight show.
Tony Kornheiser, you were here yesterday? It was you?
See, this is where...
He was here?
Your insults makes me worried about you, Tony. I'm a little concerned. I show up a lot. Not a lot of other people looking like me on this program who beam into your fancy new basement.
My short-term memory is lost. But if you want, I can recite the lyrics to every Beatles song ever written. My
really can.
Memory. Good.
Not
short
a joke.
Term. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon has the day off. I'm joined once again by our great friend from the ESPN Daily and Debatable podcast, Mr. Pablo Torre. And we begin today with some fabulous speculation about Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets that goes like this. The Jets have just hired Rodgers' former offensive coordinator in Green Bay, Nathaniel Hackett, after Hackett flamed out gloriously in his 1 year in Denver. The thinking is that Rodgers will want to play for the Jets now and will try to force a trade, which works for Green Bay because it saves them $50 million in Rodgers' salary, and Rodgers will go to play in the other conference. Pablo, you live in New York City. Can you see this happening?
I can, and I love how much you love this story because I think you appreciate, as I do as a New Yorker, it's a sports talk stimulus package. Let's just be blunt about what it is. This is unbelievable desperation by the New York Jets, which is not new. But what is very funny to me is to hear Robert Saleh, the head coach, say explicitly, we are committed to finding a veteran quarterback. And then they go and hire the guy who was the second coach since 1978 to be fired before the end of his first season as a head coach. Because why? I would make a... Tony, I was thinking, like, is this a Gale and Oprah scenario? Why do people always think that Aaron Rodgers is going to follow when you invite Nathaniel Hackett, even though he didn't follow to Denver? But it's clearly the exact same hilarious thinking.
So, you know, again, let me state that this is pure speculation, all right? Who knows what Aaron Rodgers is thinking? Well, Pat McAfee probably does, but he's not on this show. It's just me and
correct.
You. So
yeah.
I'm going to go down the road a little bit. As a native New Yorker and as a Jets fan and in my whole life. And I will say, as I've said many times before, and you see a picture behind me of Joe Namath, the only highlight in the Jets history is this. Namath wagging his finger. That's all there is. Now let's bring it a little closer to home. What number does Aaron Rodgers wear, kids? He wears 12. Ooh, that was Namath's number. And how does Aaron Rodgers see himself, kids? Sort of as an anti-hero. Ooh, that's how Namath saw himself, as an anti-hero. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, don't underrate his brains. He's a smart guy. Forget the vaccination thing. He's
sure.
A smart guy. And he's certainly
agreed.
Smart enough to understand what it's like to be a hero in New York City. Because Joe Namath is a god still in New York City. And Aaron Rodgers is probably thinking to himself, hey, Brady did this in Tampa. If I do this in New York City, it's so much bigger.
But Tony, I have to ask you about something, a superpower that Namath but Rodgers never has, which is the ability to withstand the withering spotlight, okay? The backlash from the surrounding environs. Green Bay has been a hamlet. They
That's
have been
right.
always
right.
nice to him. We know what Rodgers does when he feels attacked. Namath, to me, is the opposite from Rodgers in that way, isn't he?
I will just say this, that I hope the Jets move heaven and earth to try and get Aaron Rodgers because they have not had a quarterback to die for in 50 years. The only crack in the glass is this. This was the Denver situation last year. All we need is a quarterback.
Yep.
They got Russell Wilson, who's a real quarterback, and he stunk, and so did Hackett. Do I think that Rodgers would stink in New York? No, actually, I think he'd rise to it. I think to answer your question, I think he'd rise to it.
Mm.
Let me move on.
Okay.
And we'll stay in football. The Carolina Panthers have hired a new coach, and he is Frank Reich, who was fired in midseason by the Indianapolis Colts. The Panthers did not retain Steve Wilks, who had been the interim coach in Carolina after Matt Rhule was fired after 5 games. Rhule was 1-4. Wilks was 6-6. The Panthers also didn't hire Sean Payton, who had interviewed for the job. Pablo, is the headline here who got the job or who didn't?
I think we start with who didn't, Tony, because two things are true. One is big picture, one is small picture. The big picture is about black coaches in the NFL. Lovie Smith gets fired. Steve Wilks now does not get this job. You can count the number of black head coaches in the NFL on less than one hand. It's embarrassing. Yeah. And so Steve Wilks should feel aggrieved. He is literally in the process of suing the NFL as part of the Brian Flores larger litigation. This is catnip on that front. But the second part of it, the smaller picture thing, is that I also think that Frank Reich is a good coach. And that this kind of makes sense when you look at this specifically in terms of the Panthers and next season and them being maybe one good head coach and, yes, a quarterback away.
Yeah, I'm glad you said a good head coach and a quarterback away. And that's why you would bring in Frank Reich because of quarterbacks. Frank Reich is not the headline here. It doesn't matter that he was the first starter ever for the Carolina Panthers and was there 1 year. This is not a homecoming story. David Tepper didn't own the club at that point. You hire, right. and Frank Reich has credentials. You hire him because he is known as a quarterback whisperer. But Sam Darnold may not have enough audio strength to hear the whispers from Frank Reich. And to be fair, Pablo, he had Philip Rivers, and he had Carson Wentz, and he had Matt Ryan in succession in Indianapolis and had no success. The greater story here is who wasn't hired. I'll dismiss Sean. Sean Payton's not stupid. That's a bad job. Sean Payton doesn't want that job. You could offer Sean Payton all the money in the world, and he'd hold out for another job. So this is about
better
Wilks.
Options.
Wilks earned that job. He took over a lousy team. He went 6-6. Miraculously, they were actually in the playoff hunt in their terrible division. This is like Bisaccio last year in Vegas. He earned the job. They went for someone else. They went down the drain. Steve Wilks earned the job. And my early reaction was that Brian Flores is saying to somebody, I told you so. I told you so. I mean, he earned the job.
Yeah. What else do you need to do is a valid question if you're any of the coaches who are literally suing the NFL right now. I think it's safe to say. But Tony, I guess we should move to the NBA now because Charles Barkley, our friend, had some tough words for players who embrace load management. And this is what he told SiriusXM Radio. Quote, I cannot wait for these owners to put their foot in their asses in this next CBA. They're going to be like, wait a minute, you can't make $50 million and not play half the season. End quote. So your thoughts there on Charles's words?
That's a great quote. I didn't know you could say foot on TV. okay. I'm even older than Charles Barkley. So I remember when all the great players, in fact, all the players played every game. That's what they wanted to do. I remember when players understood the entertainment value of sports and wanted to make sure that people who spent money for tickets got their money's worth in case it was the only time they would ever see them. But I have to say this. Players did not invent load management. I believe load management was invented by these dopey strength coaches who have somehow become preeminent in sports, and they invented this junk. And I say junk to honor Mike Wilbon and also because I believe in it. And I believe then that owners hired pseudoscientists to perpetuate this junk. And eventually coaches came to believe that if you rest players a lot, you're going to have better results. And that too is junk because if that were true, the Los Angeles Clippers would have won something and they never win anything. All right. So I believe there's a large conspiracy out there that likes load management and that owners are part of it. And I also believe, Pablo, that players now have lost sight of the entertainment value of sports.
So it's not junk is the thing. I believe that there is science behind why you want your players well-rested and the most optimal they can be when it comes to the thing that really matters, which is winning a championship. So I believe that this is made This comes from reason, but I also agree with you in this sense. The greatest tension in sports today is the tension between this hyper-competitive, scientifically driven optimization and entertainment. These things are at odds, Tony. My belief simply is that these teams are doing it because they're self-interested. So let's take the validity of their rationale out of it, because we disagree on that. But we can both agree that they're doing it because they're selfish. And that's the tension. They want to win at all costs. And what comes at cost is, of course, the fan who's like, I wanted to see my players play in games that I paid for.
That's right. So I'm going to leave your point alone. I'm going to leave it alone. But there is a solution to this, and it's very simple. Don't play 82 games in a sport where 20 of 30 teams make the playoffs in one form or another, and the playoffs take 3 months. Play 65 games, starting Christmas, and don't have any back-to-backs, and say the following sentence to your players. This is like a Broadway show, kids. We want you out there. Nobody buys a ticket to see the understudy. So let's take a break.
100%.
And coming up, we will ask Steve Young what advice he'd give to Brock Purdy ahead of Sunday's NFC Championship game.
And we'll also ask him whether he'd rather have an injured shoulder like Jalen Hurts or a bad ankle like Patrick Mahomes.
There's an entertainment value.
No, you're 100% right. The game is suffering. The product is worse. People are paying thousands of dollars to see guys who are being played by someone that they don't want to see for that evening's performance.
That's right.
100%.
And tonight in the role of you know, Anthony Davis is. You know, it's not him.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're just joining us from some sort of hibernation, the NFL's conference championship games are this weekend. We have some questions about them for our great friend from Monday Night Countdown, a man who played in 7 more championship games than Pablo and I have combined, Hall of Famer Steve Young. True. And that's an important thing. 7 championship games, right?
It's a lot.
I mean, let's say rookie Brock Purdy asked you for advice. This is his first one. Let's say he asked you for advice. Steve, what would you tell him?
I would tell him that it is a shock to the system how fast it either is Super Bowl or the season's over. You know, you think about a single game deciding all of this. Usually there's 7-game series in baseball and basketball. There's all these kinds of chances to kind of make up for a lack of momentum or a slow start. Football, no. You have a bad series, like you do. This is not a time where you feel it out like a 15, you know, round boxing match. Just a couple rounds of feeling it out. No, it's like the first time you hit the field, every play matters, every series matters, and that's why. Look at Dak last week. Couple bad throws, it's over. You're going home. And so I would tell Brock, you know, do 2 things. Don't screw it up, right? But also make big plays and don't waste any time and make sure that you don't, you only have 9 or 10 series in a whole football game. Don't waste any of them. Get started quick. Like there's a lot to get done. And I wouldn't want to overwhelm with too much, but the number one thing, it gets over very quick. Be careful.
Yeah, Steve, I want to tap into that veteran savvy to present you with a quarterback injury Sophie's Choice scenario. Would you rather have the injured shoulder like Jalen Hurts or the high ankle sprain like Patrick Mahomes?
I'm not sure that question is worthy of the Sophie's Choice reference, but You know, you don't want either. You don't want to be like, which one do I want? You know, I can poke my eye out, or like, look, you don't want, like, the arm is your moneymaker. That's how you play the game. That's how you win in a championship series like this. You're going to win the game with your arm. Now, look, we know legs are a big part of the game today, big part of Jalen's game. It's a big part of Patrick's game. So you don't want to not have your legs, but you've got to have your arm. And if you don't have, and if you're, look, if it's 90%, 95%, you know, either one, it's fine. Doesn't matter. But if you're talking about something that's really aching or problematic, you want it to be your leg, not your arm.
So let's be solutions oriented now, because let's say you take a pain shot, a painkiller before this game, right? How does that actually affect you as a quarterback? Does the shot sort of, I know nothing about this, does the shot wear off over the course of the game? What's it actually like to have that and then go out there and do everything you just said?
It depends. It's contextual, right? Like if you're 90% and you take the shot because you just don't want to be nagged at, it's great. It's fine. And it doesn't wear off if something happens. But if you have a bad thing that you're going to play through because it's a championship game and you know you're going to be hurt afterwards and it's not a long-term smart decision, but I'm going to go for it, and you take the pain shot to kind of get through the game, that's when you got to go back at halftime and you're hurting. Even through the – I think that when I've had the pain shot, when it was something that was really bothering me,
yeah,
the pain went away, but you still could tell. Your body was telling you – ignore the fact that you don't feel it. You know something's wrong, and it affects your game. So pain shot or not, if you're really hurt, it's a problem. But if those 90%ers, that pain shot's great because you go play, you don't feel it, and you can actually perform pretty well.
I will get you out of here on this. I sort of find this amazing that some of the Bengals have publicly referred to Arrowhead Stadium as Burrowhead Stadium. I mean, because I know that Joe Burrow has had great success there. But if you were Joe Burrow, if you were in his shoes, how would you feel about that being public with your teammates?
I think that Joe Burrow, knowing Joe Burrow, kind of likes it. He's like, yeah, I like the Burrowhead. Let's go do this. And we talked about this, I think, a week or two ago. The team, the greatest teams that I was a part of loved being, you know, like the, oh, I call it overdogs, but I mean like they're the favorite. Like we're favorite, and we're going to show you. We walk out of the locker room. When we come out, all those names, you know you're in trouble. So I think the problem is that Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes seem to be the three that are going to trade this scenario every year for the next 10 years. If the Bengals win on Sunday, then it starts to get like more, you hear more about Burrowhead Stadium. That's the thing that Kansas City cannot abide. You cannot have this have 7 months of Burrowhead Stadium and then have the pictures of him and have all the memes and all this stuff. Like, if I'm the Chief, I was like, we cannot have this happen, because this is the kind of thing that changes the trajectory of the next 10 years. Because the momentum the Bengals get and Joe Burrow gets, you do not want this Burrowhead Stadium thing to get kind of fire.
I'd love to have a T-shirt that said Burrowhead Stadium. I would love that. Thank you, Steve, as always. Wonderful.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Steve.
See ya.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, Steph Curry gets tossed for tossing his mouth guard.
And American Tommy Paul looks to upset Novak Djokovic in Australia. And Tony will break down his chances after the break.
Yeah, there's zero chance. I don't have to wait till after the break. Zero chance.
Okay, let's not fool around. I just like how Steve Young is making memes now, Tony. Are you aware of the meme potential of all of these storylines?
I don't know what memes are.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Happy time, people. Happy 46th birthday, Vince Carter. Half man, half amazing. Carter was the number 5 overall pick out of North Carolina in 1998. Played 22 seasons, retiring in 2020. So Carter played in 4 different decades, the 90s, the aughts, the teens, and the 20s. He never played on the title team, ain't got no rings, but he's got an Olympic gold medal, and he was an 8-time All-Star, and his dunks were the stuff of legend, which is how he got the nickname Vinsanity. He was Rookie of the Year in 1999, and in 2000, won the dunk contest pretty much by acclamation. For his lengthy career spread over 8 teams, Carter averaged 17 points a game. But in his best years in Toronto and New Jersey, Carter averaged 23.
Tony, I would venture to say that year 2000 Vince Carter had as fun a year as any athlete has ever had. He won a dunk contest you just alluded to that has not been beaten in the 23 years since, despite all the young kids who have had time to innovate. And he also, let's keep this in mind too, literally dunked over the head of Frederick Weiss with Team USA, a dunk they still refer to in France as le dunk de la mort, which I believe translates to the dunk of death, which is nice.
Dunk of death. Dunk of death. Happy anniversary, Les Snead. On this day 2 years ago, the Rams general manager described Jared Goff's status with the team this way, and I quote, "He's a Ram in this moment," unquote. Within a couple of months, that moment was gone, and the Rams traded Goff, their first-round picks in 2022 and 23, and a third-round pick to Detroit for Matthew Stafford. The result couldn't have been better. Rams won the Super Bowl. They were in win-now mode, as evidenced by trades for Jalen Ramsey and Von Miller and signing Odell Beckham Jr. But the Rams are now a hot mess. They have no first-round draft pick until 2024. And meanwhile, Goff was rather good in Detroit this season for an up-and-coming team. 29 touchdowns, only 7 picks.
Yeah, this was Mr. Bleep Them Picks, and now I think the Rams are wondering, how do we unbleep our pick situation? Because we're dealing with the consequences of our short-term thinking.
Happy trails to Steph Curry's mouthpiece. And happy trails to Steph Curry for throwing said mouthpiece into the seats last night. Curry was ejected with the Warriors up 2 on Memphis and 1:14 to go. Curry wanted Jordan Poole to give him the ball instead of shooting. And Curry, who had 43 points by then, threw the mouthpiece in anger. I can only assume it's an ejection based on NBA saliva protocols. By the way, Poole hit the game winner. And happy trails to the Utah Jazz. They got burned by Damian Lillard's 60 points. The 4th time Lillard has gone for 60 in his career. Lillard needed just 29 shot attempts and 10 free throw attempts to get to 60, the most efficient shooting ever in a 60-point game.
I wish I was more impressed by 60-point games. They just happen so often now, but not as often, it seems, as Steph Curry gets in trouble invariably for throwing his mouthpiece somewhere. It always seems to be the mouthpiece with Steph when he gets in trouble.
3 ejections, all for the mouthpiece. Quickly to the big finish, Anthony Davis. Scored 21 off the bench in his first game back with the Lakers. Are you impressed?
Minimally, because they beat the Spurs. But the Cowboys, staying in Texas, announced that they will not renew 6 assistants on expiring contracts. Is that significant to you?
Is Mike McCarthy still the head coach? That's significant. Knicks and Celtics tonight. Will Celtics lose their 3rd straight?
I don't need fancy facial recognition technology to know that the Celtics are going to destroy the Knicks tonight. The Astros hired the Braves scouting director, Dana Brown, as their new GM. Your thoughts?
These are 2 really good teams. The Braves beat the Astros in the World Series a couple of years ago, and then the Astros won a World Series. That's probably a good hire. Last one, Djokovic versus your boy Tommy Paul at 3:30 in the morning. Who you got?
3:30 a.m. I'm going to take the advice you gave me before and take the guy who's not Tommy Paul, I think.
Probably the wise move. We are out of time. Yeah. We'll try and do better the next time. Ari Melbert, this is PTI.
Ooh, and I'm Pablo Torre, by the way. Thank you for watching. Please check out ESPN Daily and Debatable, wherever you get the good podcasts. But for now, your SportsCenter.
He never heard of PTI.